Welcome to Story Talking with Laksh, episode 78. My name is Laksh, and if you're listening to this, I haven't really started following the season system much, but technically this is also episode 9 or 10 of season 2. Basically, I'm going to try to do yearly seasons, I think. Yeah, so 2019 is going to be its own season. But if you've never heard this show before, I am a storyteller, and I like to write, I like to talk about writing, I like to talk to storytellers, and in this podcast, I basically do all of that. And this week, in this episode, I want to talk about, this might be a short episode, and I know if you're a regular listener that you know I'm lying, but you also know that I don't. It's not a lie when I say it. It turns out to be a lie later. And those are two very... There's a thin line between those two things. Yeah. Anyway. This week, I wanted to talk about the experience of engrossing yourself in stories. So I'll give you a little lowdown of exactly what went down this week. I had a lot of, I knew exactly what I needed to do this week in terms of what I had to write, because it's something I'd been working on. I knew I gave myself time to write, and that happens, that is quite new for me. I would usually end up writing things whenever I felt like it, but this week I was very sure that I needed to finish some things. And it helped that what I was writing was technically an adaptation of my own stories. So that, in a way, helped to make it more of a scheduled thing. But essentially what happened was that I mentioned this in the last episode of Story Talking as well. I am working on a new podcast show. It's going to be fiction, and it's called Play Me Life. And the first episode is what we call, and by we I mean, I guess, yeah, we, people who work on podcasting, people who work on shows, and people who help me do things. So the first episode is something you call a pilot. And what needs to happen in the pilot is that you need to establish the concept of your show and everything it will entail. And it has to kind of be the trailer of the, if the show was a movie, the pilot is the trailer. But because my show is going to be a series of audio dramas, they're all unrelated to each other. The stories won't be connected, at least from what I have started writing so far. And it's a test show where I may not be able to, I don't know if we're going to make a lot of them. Which makes this actually kind of exciting, because you don't really know. So you try your best and you just hope. So, but it's a really exciting process. And I do hope over the coming weeks and weeks, I'll be able to share more about the process. But I will tell you exactly what happened. My first task this week was to pick a story that would be perfect as the first episode. And I picked two stories because I wasn't sure. Right now I probably have the first five or six stories locked in terms of I know what they're going to be. But I do know I have to rewrite many of them to have them fit the style and the themes of the show. So I picked two stories to start off with. One was called Love Me. One was called One More Night with Isabel, which is a story that I wrote on Launchora. It's available. You can read it. And the other one's called Love Like You're About to Miss It. And I started rewriting both of them, and I knew from the beginning that I would have to... One More Night with Isabel, I'm still not done with. The one I did finish was Love Like You're About to Miss It, and in the process of rewriting it, I ended up ex finding out so many new things about the characters that I hadn't thought about, and something interesting happened when I was doing this writing process. So I think I gave myself about two. I did it over the course of 2, 3 days. I'd say it was a total of maybe 6 to 8 hours of writing, and I was rewriting because I was turning it into a screen into a format which is like a screenplay format, but in this case it would be an audio play format because you have to put in the idea of okay, this is what it's going to. You always have to think of it as like this is what it's going to sound like, and so I started rewriting the old script first into the new format, and then I kept adding what I wanted. And my first goal was to, the story already was about, I'd say maybe 12 minutes long, maybe 15, 12 to 15 minutes. And it's not like I had a goal of increasing it, but I wanted it to be about 20 minutes. That's what I was hoping I would end up at. But I'd never really done that as a goal before. So I started rewriting the story and I started adding a bit more. It's just from the beginning, I knew that I wanted my characters. In the original story, you don't find out where the characters are, and it was assumed it could be any airport. Basically, I should tell you the story. I'll tell you the premise of the first story, and then I won't tell you too many details about the new story because I want you to be able to hear it when we make it. So the first story, the original story, was about a girl who gets in a cab and is going to the airport to tell someone that she loves them, and the cab driver and the girl talk along the way. So it was a very quick story. You get to learn a lot about the girl. You don't get to learn a lot about the driver. Very little, but he does end up helping her in this, figure out whatever is going through her head. So when I sat down to rewrite it, my first task was now I only worry about what the story is going to sound like. So I can't have the characters, glance at each other because you can't hear a glance and you can't hear quiets, like those pauses and all of that in that same capacity. And you definitely can't just have time pass because then someone in as a narrator would have to say a few minutes later. So first you take care of getting rid of those things. So I did that first, and then it started with the first scene where I wanted to make sure that sound is the sound of you hearing this person get in the cab and then, immediately getting into the story. I wanted it to feel very organic. So I rewrote that bit. And I didn't think I was going to go that much deeper into the story until it was like night number three, because you guys know I write at night and I'm recording this at night. So I think it was during night three, after 3 nights of doing this, and I reached the last sentence. I was going sentence by sentence of the old story, and then I had both stories open at the same time. And I reached the ending, and this is something that if you've ever read a story I've written, at least the stories I've written over the last couple of years, I always leave a little author's note at the end where I talk about why I wrote that story, how I wrote that story. And in that author's note, this is something I had completely forgotten. I found out then because I read it, because I wrote it, that I had written that original story in 1 hour. Like from start to finish, I came up with an idea and I sat down and I finished it in 1 hour and I pressed publish. Now, I mean, some formatting was done, yes, but I had no idea that that is what I had done when I started rewriting the story. And I realized that by the time I'd finished it, it had become a 30-minute story. And a part of me was at one point wondering why did I not already have this final version as the story I wanted to write? Because it felt like this is what I wanted to capture. the new version that I created. And the first thing I did was also, I was going back to that. I moved the story to the US. That's a cab in New York, and the girl is going to JFK Airport. And I did that because I wanted the driver to have some, I wanted him to have a personality. I wanted there to be more information about him. And I wanted the girl, both of them, to realize they're Indian and they're both strangers, but they share a common, story because they're both Indian. So I wanted that to be a dynamic for where you find out that, oh, why should a cab driver and his passenger suddenly be talking about their personal lives to each other? So that familiarity of, and I also aged the driver a bit to get that aspect. So in the original story, you don't know how old the driver is, you don't know how old the girl is, but this story, I pretty much established that the girl is in her late 20s and the driver is probably, the driver is in his 50s. So I wanted there to be that, father daughter dynamic as well. And I'm sharing all of this with you because this is the stuff that I love about writing that I've never been able to hear about from people. And I wish there was, I mean, I hope that that's one of the things that this podcast can become a part of. I wish there was a place where writers would just come on and talk about how they wrote something, how they did that. So, yeah, if you're a regular listener, you know exactly how much I love the behind the scenes stuff. And I want to share this because I learned during this writing process, this rewriting process, that I already knew what the story was the first time I wrote it. But it wasn't until I rewrote it and with this much depth and character development stuff that I truly understood the message I wanted to give with the story, even the first time around. First time around, I think my story was a quite, it was more of a short film. It was more of a, it was like you were being given a taste of something. And this one feels quite complete. And I wasn't aiming for it to hit reach the 30-minute mark. I really thought 20 would be good enough. And then I did a test recording of the story being played out because it is going to be recorded, and turns out to be exactly 30 minutes. And here's the funny part. At the beginning of the original story and this new story, when the girl asks the driver how much longer to the airport when she sits down, he says 30 minutes. And the entire story is now in the final version is going to be in real time. So from the moment that she sits in the cab to the moment that she gets out, it's 30 minutes, and that's exactly the length of their drive as well. So that became a fun challenge in the writing part to write a 30-minute live conversation. And the reason that has me really excited about this is because I had to now, when I was thinking of the dialogues, I had to rewrite. I mean, not only did I add 50% more content, I also rewrote a lot of the existing dialogue. And I did that because reading something and having you experience the story by reading it is quite a direct mode of communication between the two of us, right? But when you talk, when a human being is talking to another human being, they don't talk in dialogue. There's a lot of okay, yeah, I think, yeah, maybe, let me think what. There's a lot of pauses, there's a lot of dot dot dots, there's a lot of uhs and ums and oohs. So I wanted the dialogue to feel really natural, and I wanted it to sound like two people who don't know each other. How would they communicate with each other? So a lot of that had to be taken into consideration as well. But the one thing that was the most fun was knowing that there is If we end up going ahead with producing the show and this episode, that idea of knowing that there's going to be a person who is going to take over this person, this character, and give them a voice, that part had me being quite it felt, a little, I got a little giddy about it when I was writing it. Because you it's not like you imagine a voice when you write it, you just know it's your voice because you're the voice of both the characters. But if everything goes in on time and everything, I should be able to get the voices of these characters over the coming weeks. That reminds me, I should mention, this may not be the episode we produce. It really depends on how the other script goes and who we're able to find, what kind of rewrites might be required once we get more of a setup done with in terms of production. So I don't want to promise something that may not happen, but the perk of being the person in charge of these decisions is that you can pretty much decide to do whatever you want. And then as long as you're able to afford to do it, you can do it. So that's that. That was a lot of those 3 nights of this past week for me. When I got back home, that's what will be happening. On top of that, I also had the rewrite of One More Night with Isabel happening. And the idea with all these episodes, the show is for they are for the Indian audience. So I am making the characters Indian because I'm going to end up getting Indian voice actors to be playing them. So the story had to be slightly, relocated and stuff, and to give it more of an Indian culture. So that part is quite a fun thing to do. But here's the real thing that I've learned while doing this rewrite process. The best part is that you're not scared about where you're going, which is something that if you've ever written anything, I don't have to tell you. There's an excitement for sure for, writing something new and not knowing where it's going to go and having a lot of freedom. But there's also this it's not a fear, but it is a inconvenience because it feels like, oh, I could just stop writing this and not finish it. You can always just quit. And I always use that idea as more of a safety net rather than a real thing because, I mean, who am I to complain about being able to write a story or not write a story? But that idea of the story already being done, and in the rewrite, all you have to do is make it better, make it shine better. Like you're cleaning it up, you're giving it a fun little makeover of sorts. I did not anticipate how much I would have I enjoyed this process because there's always that, for me at least, because you may know this about me if you have read my stories, that I generally don't do any second drafts. All my stories are written quite quickly, within a few days. And once I am done with the ending, not that I don't think a lot about them, but once I'm done with the story, I don't look back. I don't change it because it feels like that's what that Lakshya wanted to say. And if I were to have this Lakshya, the current me, go back, he's gonna miss out on what that Lakshya wanted to say, and now he'll try to say what this Lakshya wanted to say. So, as you can see, these become quite fun conversations for me with myself. But when I knew that this was the, when I decided that I was going to rewrite old stories, that hesitation was gone quite quickly because it did become a collaboration of working with past me and current me. And the lucky part is that past me is still inside me. I know that guy. I know how he thinks. I know what he was thinking then. So this process of collaboration, of working with myself, was quite I'd say pleasant because the characters already had their voices set, didn't have to change anything about them, just had to enhance things about them, make them just feel more human, feel more like people and not, one-dimensional words. Yeah, that's another thing that feels weird about that, there's going to be a human being inhabiting this person. Until then, they're just, words on a piece of paper or a screen. So yeah, the part of working with Past Me, it was a nice safety cushion because I knew that I didn't have to do the hard part, which was the big themes and the ending, which are always the thing, the point you want to get to. So that part was really good. Now, I also want to share how I figured out what was the best way to turn a readable story of where it's just dialogue work into an actual, sort of screenplay. And I've read a lot of screenplays. By a lot, I mean, 8 or 10 of my favorite movies, things I really like. But the one that I went to be my kind of like my roadmap for how to handle writing this Play Me Life show is my friend of mine, a colleague, got me a book called Before Sunrise and Before Sunset, which is the screenplays of Before Sunrise and Before Sunset, and those are two of my favorite movies of all time. The words in those movies are something that they've inspired me to write. I remember the first time I saw Before Sunrise. I'm not sure if I saw Before Sunrise or Before Sunset first, but because I was a teenager when Sunset came out, and I was 6 years old when Sunrise came out, so definitely didn't see it back then. But I remember watching it on TV. So when I watched those movies, I knew immediately that this is amazing writing and I need to keep watching these movies again and again. And when I started writing, those were the movies that made me feel like what I have to say has a place in this world as well. Because I felt like what those movies were trying to say was very close to what I like talking about in terms of not just love, but also human connection and communication and how we think and who we are and what kind of impact legacy we create during our existence. So I really enjoyed those movies. So yes, if you are ever interested in writing any sort of a screenplay, whether it's for an audio play or a screenplay, whatever it is, I would recommend reading the Before Sunrise screenplay. It gave me not only in terms of technical stuff like formatting, but also seeing the difference. This is one thing that I always hesitate with. I always think that there's a doubt that even though I like my writing and I'm proud of it and I would never feel too bad if someone was to criticize it because I know I like it. And I know that it doesn't have to be everyone's taste. The one thing that I always worried about was that it was kind of an irrational. It is an irrational fear. I don't think it's a real one, but it is something that you just hold inside you. You have this fear that your words are just too, they're not fun. They're not going to sound great when someone says them out loud. And you end up judging your words on paper, even though when they're said out loud, they sound great. And that's the one thing that movie taught me. I wanted to read that screenplay just to make sure that the reading those words sounds like the way I feel like my stories might sound like. Because when you say something as simple as where does all wisdom come from? From mistakes. Now, that sounds like a very cliched saying, right? But when a human being says it out loud and they're talking to each other, they don't know each other, they're just trying to exchange, intellects and personality, just figure each other out, it sounds fine. And the amount of dialogue in Before Sunrise that it relates to talking about love and humans, it might feel like there's this is very bookish. People don't talk like that. But then you hear the actors say it, and it sounds completely normal because there's a face and a brain and a person communicating that, and not a writer. This is one of the things that I even mentioned in this week's guide, which I write every Thursday. You should check it out. One of the lessons I talked about was this idea, which is what I struggle with this week for sure. How do you make a story feel like life? And the key word is life because the show is called Play Me Life. I don't want people who listen to it to feel like they're listening to a writer. Because that's one thing that you can get rid of when someone's reading your story. Because it says your name on the story, there's already a breaking of the fourth wall because you are reading something that I wrote. But when I imagine you hearing something that I wrote, I'm no longer in the picture. The characters are in the picture, and you are communicating with them. You're not reading my words. You're listening to their voice. And that's one thing that I really wanted to feel better about because I was very concerned about how that would play out. But thankfully, the lesson I learned during this process, especially while reading Before Sunrise's screenplay and rewriting Love Me Like You're, why do I keep saying love me? Some sort of Freudian thing, I would say. Love Like You're About to Miss It. Also, by the way, the title of that has been changed, and you'll see why when you hear the story, hopefully, not too far away from now in terms of time. Now it's called Missed Connections, and I can't tell you why it's called that, but in the future, if the thing that I'm hiding right now ends up happening, I will reference this episode to tell you how I talked about it way back then, in March of 2019. So, yes, the lesson I learned this week while rewriting the story was that in order for a story to feel, in order for words to feel like, in order for words and the story and the scenes and the plot to feel like life, you have to stop writing like a writer. And I didn't know what that meant until I started working on this story. So I do want to share that little tidbit. Now, I want the ending of this episode. Oh, we're at minute 28. I do think I'm going to, well, I'm definitely going to cross 30. But I don't think I'm going to make it to 40, and that's okay because longevity is whatever. Content is content, no matter how it, whatever size it may come in. So, this week, in order for me to be able to put out so much creatively, I absorb a lot of other people's creativity as well. What I mean by that is I watch a lot of movies, and this week, television is mostly my regular creativity absorber because every day you come back from work, you may not want to start a new movie. You just want to continue watching that new episode that came out of a series that or you watch something on something on Netflix because you've been watching it all week. But when I'm writing, I like watching movies, and I would watch then end up watching a movie every day. So this week, I think I saw some really inspiring movies, and I was picking movies that I wanted to watch because of dialogue work, because that's what my real focus was this week. So I wanted to share a couple of movies that I saw. I just before recording this watched a movie called The Favorite, which is the where Olivia Colman, the main actress, won the Oscar for Best Actress, which was really good. And I watched that for the dialogue. I watched a movie earlier today, which may be my new favorite movie. I'm definitely going to, well, it's not in English, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the screenplay. But maybe one day, if someone translates it, I can get the screenplay. It's called One Cut of the Dead. It's a Japanese movie, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, brilliant screenplay. I can't even tell you how amazing that experience was. I'd never heard of this movie. I had heard people say it was amazing and it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is the story. I don't want to tell you the story, but I will tell you, I am a huge fan of the behind the scenes. You know that because I said it like 15 minutes ago. This movie, I had no idea when I pressed play, was going to be my most favorite thing because the movie is about the behind the scenes of filmmaking and I absolutely adored it. And given what I am going through right now in terms of my creativity and the stuff I'm working on, it was the perfect thing to watch. So, highly recommend finding a copy of that. The movie, here's a funny thing. The movie's budget was $25,000. I mean, converted to Japanese, it was like 3 million yen or something. And the movie made 1 billion yen. The movie made $30 million. And the budget was 25,000. So it made like 1,000 times its budget. That's amazing. So amazing movie there. Earlier this week, I saw, what else did I see? Oh, Anatomy of a Murder. Also for dialogue work. Highly recommend. Great screenplay, based on a book. What else? I saw the Lego Movie 2, which was a break from watching a lot of serious stuff. But yes, one more thing. I did something yesterday, which was, I don't know how to properly describe this, but many times when I really enjoy some writing, when I really enjoy a show or a movie, I will stop watching it before it ends because I don't think I'm ready to see it end. I did that with The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel season 2, where it came back, I want to say maybe November or December, I'm not sure. And I watched the first 7 episodes, 7 or 8 episodes very quickly. And then I stopped watching it because I love the writing on that show so much that I just didn't want it to end. And last night, as a way of rewarding myself for finishing the script for this misconnection story for Play Me Life, I finished Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I absolutely did not feel like I was. I did not feel sad that the show, the season was ending, and I'd have to wait a few more months. It was the perfect timing to watch the amazing work that that show is really, really well written. And I wrote this thing that I'll tell you. I not only did I recorded a scene just because I thought it was probably one of the best paragraphs ever written, but this is what I wrote down while watching Mrs. Maisel as notes for what to say about it on this episode of Story Talking. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, colon, can I ever write this good shit? I wrote that sentence wrong deliberately, I hope you understand, because I was trying to say that I will never be able to write something this good. So there's that. And finally, today is March 16th. This will go up on March 17th. Will still be Saturday in some countries. I will be the next 2 weekends, March 22nd. Yeah, That's tw March 23rd is going to be the next episode, and then March 30th will be the next episode. I will be doing those episodes from Amsterdam because I am going there on the 20 on the night of the 21st. I'll get there on the 22nd, and I'll be back on April 2nd. I'm going there for work and to write and to see some friends, but primarily I'd say what 30% of the trip is work, and 70% I will be meeting some old friends and hopefully getting time to write. So I don't know what those episodes are going to be about, but I'm excited to be able to take a little bit of a writing break. I really enjoy writing when I'm away from home. So by telling you on this podcast, this is my way of, holding myself accountable, because now I have to write because I told you I would write. So that's what you can expect over the next two episodes, talking about whatever I am writing over there. Whatever new stories pop up, whatever new inspiration pops up, you will be hearing it as it happens. Oh, for fans of my writing, you'll be interested to know that I am revisiting two cities. And the only two cities I'm going to are two cities where the Roy and Giza series was set. So if you have read my When Roy Made Giza series, the first one was London, the second one was Amsterdam, third was Bruges, fourth was Dresden. I will be going back to Amsterdam and Bruges, and I will be going back to the places where those two stories were set, because those were I had actually been there. I wrote those stories because I was there. So I'm excited to actually go back after all these years. That is not, in no way am I saying I'm adding more Roy and Giza episodes. I don't know that, but a part of me has thought about it, to be honest. I don't know why I'm revealing this to you, but there is a part of me that has thought about revisiting, because in I think the Dresden story, I mentioned that there were two other cities which I never wrote, but these guys did meet in. But yeah, so there's that. Oh, final thing. You would be interested to know that the podcast platform that I use to host and distribute this podcast is not just Lontura, but I use a service called Anchor. And Anchor has been bought by Spotify. And we're also this show is also on Spotify, by the way. Now, they have updated their platform to give more information to the podcast, producers, people like me. And I just wanted to share an interesting thing which I did not know about until they showed it to me. I went on their platform to check out the podcast and then to upload this new episode. And here's the interesting thing. I always assumed that India was probably 80% of my audience, but according to Anchor, India is about 54% of the audience for Story Talking with Laksh. The US is 37%, and then what is that? That's 90, right? And here's the amazing thing. The other 10% is countries I had no idea I would have listeners in. Philippines is a yes because Lontura is quite popular in the Philippines. Canada, United Kingdom, Australia. All right, there we go. Now, here's the fun stuff. Vietnam, UAE, Egypt, Germany, Netherlands, Spain, Pakistan, Nepal, Colombia, Ireland, Croatia, Nigeria, Singapore, Japan, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, Lebanon. I mean, I am so surprised. And if you are from any of the countries I mentioned, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting us. I mean, I don't mean financially. But I think by listening, when you listen to my show, not only does it validate my career as a storyteller, it makes me feel good that people care about whatever contributions I make to the world of storytelling, but it does support the larger ecosystem of what I've tried to build at Lontura. So thank you for listening to the show. If you're new to it, I hope you will subscribe. If you've already subscribed, we need to be best friends. And if I also I like I said, I remember saying Netherlands. If you are one of my few listeners in Netherlands, let me know. I will be in your country over the next, well, for a few days, starting next week. So, say hello. This has been episode 78 of Story Talking with Laksh. I will see you next week, recording probably the day off too, from Amsterdam. Until then, hope you have a wonderful week.